Now, this update from the Canadian Press. Federal Finance Minister Bill Morneau says the government is planning for every contingency when it comes to dealing with COVID-19. That includes measures designed to protect Canadians and to protect the economy. The World Health Organization reports the number of infections is nearing 100,000 worldwide. Forget about roll up the rim time. Tim Hortons is postponing the popular campaign due to the novel coronavirus outbreak. It's also announced it's joining Starbucks and the Second Cup in temporarily stopping accepting reusable cups that customers bring in. Foreign Affairs Minister François-Philippe Champagne wasn't able to meet today with the head of Ukraine International Airlines. He says a scheduling conflict stopped him from talking with the airline president about compensation for the 55 Canadians killed when one of its planes was shot down over Tehran in January. Champagne did speak with Ukraine's president today, though. From the Canadian Press, I'm Don Kelly.
Hey, hey, hey! Old man on the air. Let's check in with the old hawk weather for Saturday, folks. Check it out, 4 degrees in the sun. I think it's a lie. Sunday, 8 degrees in the sun. I think that's a lie. Right now, it's zero in downtown, minus 5. We know it's snowing. Look out the window. That's no lie.
It's time for Steel City Music with Gunner on 101.5 The Hawk.
Hey, we're back on a snowy Hamilton afternoon. A lot of guests today. Punk Rock Compilation Showcase. We'll tell you all about that stuff. I got a full house, but kicking things off a bit too heavy right now on Steel City Music.
Tell
Hey, 1205 right now. Gunner here, Steel City Music on the air, and I got a full house right off the top of the show. A Bit Too Heavy was from?
The Discarded.
I got so many people here and so many bands that are in one band and another one, but let's just start with the introductions. Joining me is Joel.
From the Discarded. That's why I knew the song.
That's very good. Yeah. And I want you to tell that story we were talking about off mic, by the way. We have Dwayne here as well.
Hey.
He's one of the people that put this together. He's in Prior Convictions. And also Jeremy, from 1998 to 2002, was once a DJ. I think that's going to be your new name for me from now on. From Gag
okay
Order. Yeah. And also Matt from Prior Convictions as well.
What's up?
Really? You had to do that? Everyone said something nice, and then you wanted to come in and not want to go into what's up?
Hello.
There you go. Much more polite. Gentlemen, this is something to behold. Brody Schwinderman and I from the Casbah last week were talking about this, and this my months and months and months ago, Dwayne, I talked to you briefly about it.
We
were talking about this compilation. I've done them before. And they are a pain in the ass. They're fun. It's great. And you look at the song orders of everything. You go, does this make sense? Does that make sense? This stuff is great. I love doing it. And that was a compilation disc 1 and 2. A lot of hard work.
73 bands.
But you decided to do 4.
Yep.
You know, so how's your brain working right now?
Overload?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So much work.
Let's swing the mic into your face just a little bit there, yeah. Right. Great. So what was the genesis of putting all of this together?
Well, Dan, our singer, and I were just kind of, you know, shooting the whatever and just said, hey, we should make our own record label because we're releasing our 7-inch. So we said, okay, great. So he came up with the title Lockdown Records. So the next jam, he says, we should do a compilation album of punk bands in our area.
But did you have any, have you done any like this before?
Never. Never.
That's why he decided to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do it, yeah.
Well, I had an idea like last year, which was going to be a punk rock picnic. So that was going to be my lit up project.
Right.
Which was going to be at the Corktown Park and using the Corktown as the actual festival, do a 12-hour show. But once I got into it with all the red tape, with bylaws,
buddy,
it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that kind of got pushed aside.
Yeah.
And then this idea came along, right? So
do the compilation.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
Yeah.
How did it grow from 1 to 2 comp to the 4?
Social media, just, you know, one yeah person heard.
Nice.
Passed it on and, you know, 1 to 12 bands to 73 just overnight.
But are you surprised by that reaction from that many artists to be a part of it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Would that be because, and I asked this question, of everyone is in different genres and that do, like, is this genre of music underserved in our area? Or is it going through highs and lulls, have you noticed?
No, I think it's steady. Like,
you know, steady for you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of punk bands. I just don't think there's a lot of outlets for where their music's getting heard, which is, I think, why a lot of people said, yeah, we're all playing together on shows. Like, everyone's sitting in this room. We've all shared a stage about, like, half the bands that are on here.
Right.
They're
absolutely
playing together and doing it. So we're all putting on our stuff individually. This is the way to go. This is what's going on in Southern Ontario, Canada, the world, punk rock. It's kind of underrepresentative. So people are going, yeah, throw us on there. Let's show what's going on out there. 73 bands are going on out there right at this moment.
Was all of these bands, are they just all from Southern Ontario, or did you reach out across Canada?
Originally, it was Southern Ontario, but now it's gone Ontario-wide. There was a few bands from up north, you know, Sault Ste. Marie and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And have you finalized, have you actually pressed the CDs yet?
Yes.
And you have them in hand?
Not yet. They'll be released March 20th at the show.
At the show.
Are they...
Gotta go.
Wait a minute. Are they in your house?
No. They're being pressed right now in Toronto.
What's the day? What's today?
Today is what?
What is March 6th?
March 6th.
You broke the cardinal rule. We know the rule. You must have it all pressed.
Sorry, behind schedule.
Dwayne, when I do CD release shows over the last 30 years in Hamilton, do you know how many I've gone to where I stood there and I said, okay, I'm going to buy your CD, and like, they're in Toronto, and the guy just called me, and we can't get them in here. What are you doing to me here?
Guaranteed. They'll be there.
Really?
Yes.
78 bands.
No. So we're releasing the first two volumes, volume one, volume two,
okay,
at the Casbah on March 20th. The other two volumes, volume three, volume four, will be released in May, May 20th.
Okay.
And a follow-up show for that one.
Matt, do you have a car?
I do.
Do you have a gun?
I don't.
Okay. Talk to Jeremy over there. We're going to get some guns.
I'm getting one.
And then you're going to go about 7 days beforehand and go remind these people that these have to be pressed and brought in. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. You know what it's like.
Oh, yes.
This, now I have anxiety over your project. I'm thinking about these things being pressed or not.
And not only the project, but we also have our three-song EP coming. Like, it just came out digitally, but we're also doing that as well.
Yeah. On top of the
lockdown.
You said 7-inch vinyl, did you know?
Well,
that?
Originally, but...
Originally.
But with... That's a lot of stuff. With, yeah. Yes, with the turnaround time for vinyl right now, the math wasn't there to get done. It was 8 weeks.
Everybody says the same thing with the vinyl. It's just costing a little bit too much to sit on, but it's great to sell over a year and a half's time.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with Chico at Precision Manufacturing in Burlington and got their contact and 8 weeks, and they don't press 7-inch there. They send it to Europe, I do believe, and they send it back.
Yeah, they do the 12-inch there for sure.
That's crazy.
12 and 10. So.
That's crazy. 73 bands, four albums worth of music. The first two, how did you weed it down to just the first two? What was the listening process like for you?
No procedure to it. Whoever submitted, put them on. That's the order they went on.
That was it, eh?
That's it.
Like, just no, like, this
no,
flows
no flow,
with this,
no,
nothing?
No.
Okay. It's punk rock, doesn't have to...
I guess that kind of makes sense, because there's just a maintain certain energy level that goes throughout it, so that does make sense.
20 great songs, four great chords, for sure.
You didn't delete the D files out here, did you?
Oh yeah, he's over there. Look at him. There's no deletion. So over to you, sir. Discarded. Tell us about the Discarded. What's the band up to? What was the genesis of the band and putting it together?
Again, we played with a lot of the bands that are on here. We put out some albums over each year. We like to do a vinyl. We put out our last one there in November. Mm-hmm. We put on our latest one, which this song is off of. And the song is called A Bit Too Heavy, and as you were sort of mentioning there...
Tell us about A Bit Too Heavy, the backstory on that.
Well, we kind of, as a joke, people always go, you need to put stuff into Searchlight. You need to put, you get...
Searchlight with the CBC.
CBC. People are always like, oh, you'll be discovered that way. And I go, yeah, they're not really into stuff like that. And I remember when we got our first couple albums, we would send it on to CBC, and the first thing we got back from them was... You guys are a bit too heavy for the CBC. So we wrote a song called A Bit Too Heavy. But, you know, having said that, you know, the CBC probably does support Canadian music more than most sort of genres, but it tends to be a lot lighter than what we play. So we used to be called A Bit Too Heavy for the CBC, but we just call it A Bit Too Heavy now.
But that kind of, but the thing about the CBC, its mandate is always to promote Canadian culture. And then to me, you have to represent all aspects of Canadian culture. You know, so having a punk band on Search Spot, if being too heavy, does not make sense to me.
Yeah, I know. But
just a little bit, you know?
There's enough bands around that
to
justify
there's, 73 bands on this comp, and then you're talking close to 45 to 47 years of a style of music that can be argued whether it was... The Genesis was in New York, or whether it was over in Britain with Malcolm,
Or you could say there was a huge Toronto scene that was underrepresented and just not documented.
Early 20s to Vancouver.
Oddly enough, which is crazy to see.
We got to get him into the microphone.
To see some of these guys from the 80s, like these hardcore bands that kind of define the Toronto hardcore scene on this list as well, with bands that are, you know, upstarts. That, you know, we young kids that we're playing shows with now, too, to see that all come together. And that's like
cool. Well, let's just switch it over to you right now. What started you up with getting into punk music and being a part of the D-Files?
It's funny because I'm actually from the East Coast, and I moved here. Newfoundland, St. John's.
Nice.
Yeah, so I moved here when I was about 15, and it was a big thrash scene back home, and I was heavily into thrash when I came here playing guitar. And it was this city that sent me down the punk path, you know what I mean? Back when I was in high school and when I was here at Mohawk, some of the bands aren't around anymore, but D-Files was one of them around back then.
Yeah.
even stuff like the Killjoys and Rusty shooting videos in at the old Corktown back in the day, Free King Otis, all these like.
Oh, there's a name I haven't heard forever.
No, like bands that hardly nobody knows of, but they kind of defined, getting me down that path. But yeah, with the D-Files, they put out a call for a bass player about 4 or 5 years ago.
And that's what got
worked
you.
Worked out. Yeah. And a testament to the scene that we're talking about is that's how I ended up in Gag Order. Dwayne actually booked the show with Gag Order and D-Files, and they were looking for another guitar player.
So. Right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that makes sense.
The scene actually kind of goes full circle. It's pretty... pretty interesting.
But we were just talking about music from the early 70s in Toronto and the whole punk scene, but there's so many different genres of punk that are out there right now, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's like everything from the late 2000s skater punk, the pop punk you mentioned out of Hamilton back in the early 90s, Ella the Killjoys, that sort of stuff. Mm. Are any of those styles of music represented in these upcoming comp discs?
Yeah, wide range, right? We have some skater punk in there. We have hardcore. We got
name off some names. Let me know who's what.
I put my glasses on for this.
Put them on, Grandpa. Come on now.
Hey, I'm not Brody.
Schwinderman's going blind.
What do you want to know? Like, there's so much here. Like, Adelita, skate punk.
Those guys are good.
Yeah,
rockabilly stuff on there.
You said yeah. There's rockabilly. Who's that? Wiggler,
Wiggler's rockabilly. Yeah,
you got
surf stuff.
Surf, which is Danger Death Ray.
Well, I had them up on the air a couple times now.
Good
and solid, but they're not your traditional surf rock.
No,
they're putting in like that sort of like almost a bit of a new wave edginess to it, and I mean in all respect when I say that to them. On
I love them because when I seen the Ramones years ago at RPM's. Shadowy Man from a...
What a great band.
Yes. And that's when I was introduced to that type of sound, and I thought it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So when they came around to be part of the comp, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to have the variety.
That was the wonderful thing about punk. It wasn't supposed to be, you must be a hardcore band, and you must have, double time, and da-da-da-da-da. No. It was a bit more inclusive to your idea was this. And as long as it was like kind of skewed that way, it was more the intent than you must follow this formula, right? It'd be nice if we weren't as formulated and such. You could have ska bands, you could have rockabilly bands, you could have thrashy hardcore bands, you can have rock and roll based kind of punk rock bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having said that, is that something that you might want to take on next year? Once you've settled everything
next year,
yeah. But once you've actually settled, because it's going to happen to you, you're going to look back at this, you're going to go. Okay, we had these bands come in, and we had this styles here. We had this conversation. Other people have given suggestions. Lockdown record could actually let's put out another one if it's cost effective.
That's a big factor right there. Yeah. Right?
What are your costs putting this compilation out?
No idea yet.
No idea. They're not all in yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So is there going to be, what are we doing? Benefit shows to pay for this?
Nope.
We're okay.
CD sales. Door for the actual March 20th show.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully pay for everything.
Okay.
Generally.
And money on top of that, we pay the bands too, right?
Right. Well, yeah, everything for generally from the night.
Sure.
Yeah, they all get a portion of that. All the bands that are on these on this show that's coming up, they've been like stepping up and talking about this show at all? That would be you. I'm pointing over at you, sir. Matt.
Yeah. I'm
swinging the mic into your face. Well, so, I haven't had a chance to really talk to you yet, man. You came in and you said that you were working in a coal mine at around 12:30 today.
Yeah, the canary died. They let you go for the day.
They let you go for the day. So, I want to get all my money's worth out of you here in the studio.
Okay, what do you want to know?
I want to know your backstory. I want to know why you got into this. I want to know how you got into the whole playing of punk music and your general interest in getting into the music.
I think I started listening to punk around, like 15, 16. And then just kind of, one of my favorite bands, because of the tempos and guitars, was, I'm definitely, a 90s skate punk sort of kid. Like Lagwagon and, NoFX, it's kind of, my genre favorite. And mixing it with Prior Convictions with the other... we got 70s, we got 80s, we got 90s kind of bunched in all together, right? So, Yeah, so I don't know. I just have a good time doing it. I don't know. It's just one of those things.
So for you, it's just like it's a joy thing. It's like a release thing. It's
absolutely, like, yeah, yeah. And I just have a blast doing it. Right. So, and you know, when I joined with Prior Convictions, Dwayne's like, you know, he's like, you can have free creativity over whatever you want, to do, man. And then so I kind of just I rewrote a couple of different licks on the guitar, and then that's kind of how it happened. And then Dwayne just asked me, are you fine with playing shows and
sure
and doing availability videos?
Do it all, yeah
I was like, sure, sounds good.
You got some videos out now?
We just have basic ones out on YouTube, but we're actually working on one right now. We have a song coming up. It's called Gravedigger and the Meteorite, which is a true story.
It's a cool story.
And so we're filming.
Tell us the backstory on that.
So, Gravedigger and the Meteorite. So my grandfather.
Get into the microphone there, son.
Sorry.
There we go.
Yar. My grandfather worked at the Evergreen Cemetery in Milton. He was there from 1945 to 1969.
Wow.
So during one of his digs, I think it was in around 67, 68. We don't know the actual date. I have the actual newspaper article. So he was digging, and about the 5 foot, 6 foot level, he hit this rock. He picked it up, and he thought, wow, this weighs heavier than what it should. So he threw it on top of the grave. So later the day, he finished the site, covered up, went back, I guess, to the house or to the bar or whatever, talking with another guy, discussed what he had found. So they went back to look at it. And he says, yeah, I think this is something more than a rock. This is a meteorite. And lo and behold, yeah, some guys came in from Toronto and said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Can we study it? Can we look at it? Oh, absolutely. Well, it vanished from my family. Vanished. We don't know where it went. Everyone seems to think, oh,
the government took it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So we don't know where this meteorite is. It's somewhere, you know, being showcased.
Okay, so
the song is about.
Isn't the movie Heavy Metal all about that?
You beat me to the punch. Sorry, like, I'm sitting here like going, I'm pretty sure that I had sexual fantasies to this meteorite, yeah, sir, back in the day.
Nyborg, right?
Yeah. John Candy's voice is rolling in my head. Yeah, all the voices are now. There you go. Yeah. Now we get the liver system. Wait a minute. So are you saying that he jokes over here, Matt jokes at government, but someone within your family
gave it to somebody, they went to study it, examine it,
okay,
and it vanished.
Right.
No one knows where it is to this day.
Powering Bruce Power. I was actually kind of thinking that it was actually giving someone superpowers or something like that. And then now your grandfather's like the super grave digger.
So we're doing a video. So we did
a monster truck at one point.
So first part of the video was the court town, and then we're going to film once we get some nicer weather at the Evergreen Cemetery. We got permission to film there. So
good deal. Was it a local people doing it? Are you doing it all on iPhones? Are you going to get someone with a 4K camera?
No, we got somebody with a 4K camera, a guy named Andrew from a band called Shifty, actually.
Right.
So he's filming it and, piecing it all together. It's
awesome.
Really awesome when it's done.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. I like that. Why don't we play some D-Files and Sick Man? And then we'll come back and we'll yap a little bit more about what's going on with the bands, how you can be a part of it, the date, and all the other fun stuff here on Steel City Music.
We'll be right back.
The D-File, Sick Man, right there for you on Steel City Music. It is a 12:30 and change, and the boys are all in the studio. Joining me is Joel, Dwayne, Jeremy, Gagler, D-File's Prior Convictions, Discard, Matt, Prior Convictions, and what other band?
That's it.
That's it? Lazy. Oh,
hey, man. I'm just enjoying myself.
Lazy. That's what I say. Okay, so here we go. We're talking about all different styles of punk music. Everyone that's been gotten onto this compilation, they'll be pressed and ready to go on March 20th at the Casbah.
That's correct.
That's right. And just can we make it official who's stage managing that night? Don't ask me. I'm not doing
it. Is it Ginger?
Is it Ginger St. James?
We're going to pull her into it. She doesn't know it yet, but she's going to be the one.
I don't think she's going
to
do it.
She pulled me into doing the show here because this was an idea I had, whether it was going to be the Corktown or this ain't Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we were doing these tribute shows. We did the last one was Punk 1977.
Oh, yeah.
Very successful. And then we did Ramones Night.
The Ramones Night, yeah.
So that was quite fun. So when she heard I was doing this, we had a meeting. She says, do this here.
Right.
So she pulled me in, so we'll make her stage manager.
Don't make, you know what? If she doesn't do it, you know who you should make do it?
Who?
Heather Valley.
Oh.
Make Heather do it. Just like, Heather's like, I'm working 92 hours a week. Why would you do this to me?
Just do that to her.
All right.
It'd be funny.
All right.
Heather, you listening?
Heather, you're up next if Ginger bows
That's
out.
Funny.
That would be amazing. Okay, so tell me a little bit about this show in regards to you'll be selling the disc when it gets there. Did you guys print up any sort of like merch? Will you have your...
For Lockdown Records, not so much. Obviously, we're going to have the CDs available digitally released the same day. And... physical copies at the show. Again, all the bands are going to have their own CDs, their own merchandise. So
okay, great.
Bring bring lots of cash with you.
Yeah, there's going to be 27 merch tables there.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, probably take out. That's funny because there probably will be 27 merch tables there.
I'm going to be selling merch tables outside.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. The only person who made money actually renting them.
Renting the merch tables. Is that still a money generator of substance for you guys as far as like when you're selling merch for your shows?
I can honestly say that with Gag Order, we play a lot of shows and it's our number one revenue stream, 100% is shirts, vinyl,
absolutely
patches, stickers, whatever. People eat it up, and thank God for that because it keeps us going, right?
Right. Is it? But there's like enough of those people buying all of that like right now, like and what would be your big merch sellers? Because there's always been this ongoing, and I'll tell you a quick story. You think you know something about music and merch, and then you buy like $5,000 worth of something, and you end up sleeping on it. You mentioned the Killjoys, and mm-hmm. I went on a winter tour with them, and I bought like all these toques with the Killjoy Flame logo. They sat, and we were going through like Edmonton. It was -35. I'm like, you want to buy a toque? No, I'm okay.
Yeah,
what do you mean you want to buy a toque?
But you do the 20-year reunion tour. All those guys have lost their hair. They're buying the toque now.
I swear,
I'd buy a toque right now if you got it.
Yeah, I know, but it was horrifying. So like, well, that's why I always talk about merch with them. I'm like, going, what's selling? And the other thing was like, always like, oh, everyone wants to wear a baby tee. Oh, if you can get in a baby tee, like, oh, Jesus, really? Seriously, people, you're wearing these, really? But I always found that the things that were people who were in the hardcore. Kind of like that sort of like you'd have that like you could always tell the person was really into music if they were going, got any buttons, man? Like, can I get a button or a sticker? Yeah. That sort of thing. Is that mentality still there? Just like the little thing to throw a dollar down?
Yeah, 100%. It seems to be the only thing I can sell when I'm working the merch tables is the buttons and the stickers. But vinyl is huge for us still.
Yeah.
We're in a unique situation, obviously, with Gag. One of our singer works for a record pressing company that helps us quite a bit. But we sell vinyl, and obviously the black logo T-shirts. We sell a lot of those. I think everybody in here's got a band T-shirt on today, so I think everybody in a punk and hardcore band's whole closet is black T-shirts.
Yes,
he's the only one. So
I have a uniform.
We should have brought
jeans
our merch
and black,
table here.
Black T-shirt. That's it.
Spinal Tap.
That's the only
cover,
way
right?
I can figure out my life.
No more black is that T-shirt. Is all I'm saying.
But you're right. The pins and the buttons and things like that. We go through hundreds of them.
Still. How does it work for digital downloads for you guys? Do you see an increase in money that way for you guys?
No.
Nothing.
No. Actually,
the best is Bandcamp.
Bandcamp does support the artists.
Because I've had that conversation with a lot of bands that come through and solo artists when we're talking about over the years where the revenues is coming in. And Joel and I were talking, I'm like, Spotify. No, screw yourself. No.
Spotify is a pure promo tool for us.
That's
all we look at it as. We don't expect to make any money. We know that even through using Bandcamp and before that, all the other MySpace, whatever it may have been before that, that we used to, people to get your things on the internet. We know that I feel like in this genre we have we still have people that want to buy physical records and CDs. So to be able to use something like Spotify, even though it's like cursed to a lot of musicians, don't use it. If it's a promo tool and you think of it as a promo tool, it works.
And the best way to support a band is to buy a T-shirt at a show.
That's right.
Or a physical product. And you're saying, do you guys still make CDs? Yeah, we probably sell as many as vinyl, ironically. Right. So we make them until someone isn't buying them anymore. And we are fortunate you can do smaller runs and such that you don't have to do sit on a bunch and sell it out and do that sort of thing. But it's the T-shirts, it's a CD, it's a vinyl record, and have them. The T-shirts and the stickers, a lot of time we might just give some of those away as well. Spotify, 2 days ago, they said that in all Canadian streaming, musicians made $67 for an entire year. Right,
I
and that's that. That's throwing in the guys who are making a whole bunch in there in the industry. Right,
Gag Order just launched on Spotify in January, the 1st of January, and that was something we talked about for quite a bit. That we weren't sure if we were going to do. We're up in the air about it, but like I say, I think we're doing very well. We're close to 10,000 spins already in 2 months, but. There's, like I say, what are we going
to
get out of it?
Right. But people that come out to your show, it may get put on a playlist. They may discover your band that way.
And that's what
hopefully they'll go to something like a Bandcamp and download your album, or they'll come out to a show and buy your record.
We're seeing plays in places that we've never seen before, like Denmark and Sweden. Like, I don't even know how they would even, know what I mean? So there's that aspect.
And people used to make a tape and, dub it, and that's how you got your first hardcore stuff spread that way, right?
Are you guys, and I'm just going to just jump off of what you just said there, was actually going into my next question, aside from the Southern Ontario, overall for you guys that you've been doing this for a little while now, have you seen people get the requests like, can you send me a Prior Convictions album? I like it, blah, 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 blah. Like, are you still getting that?
It's starting for us now, yes.
Just now it's starting for you? Because you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, since 2013, but we weren't going real gung-ho with it, right. Really. But just within the last year, I've noticed that it's growing.
Yeah, especially with the...
our new EP.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I was just going to say.
And that's the new EP, that you're getting some good response from that.
I think so, yeah. We do sound different from... what Prior Convictions was a year and a half ago. I think we sound different. A different singer. Guitar riffs, bass playing. It's totally different from 2013, I think.
So in 7 years, it's evolved. You like the progression that it's going in. Is there any other... Because I always jump back because we were just talking about the different styles that were on the comp. Can you see your band being a little bit more going to the surf side of music to try to be exploratory without alienating someone? And I only use surf as an example.
Yeah. I don't know. We kind of just like to keep it Hamilton right now,
What's your definition of Hamilton then?
I don't know. It's kind of like if you want to... you want to hear us, you have to come see us sort of thing. I don't know. I don't see us like... I don't know. It's really up to that's a vote, I think, really, and I think the vote would be no. No way. It local.
No. I meant as far as how the sound of a band can change, like what the influences are. Like, could you foresee, like, hey, you know what? I'm really like what we're playing over here. Can we try a little bit more of that style in this next couple songs? You know what I mean?
Well, you say you write your own parts. I think anything you listen to will probably get filtered in through a song. Influence, a band kind of sounds like a band, but all of a sudden you're coming in with your new effects. You say you're doing new licks and throwing your part over top.
Just, I only say this just because it's just a discussion about music in general that that we all have about how one thing will influence another. And then there's also personalities within a band, right? Mm-hmm. And I always throw out that story, you know. Buddy, Billy Corgan, you're crazy. The band said you're crazy. We had to get you a counselor, and the management said we're going to dump you. We don't care how much money you're making. You're making everyone nuts. You got to like learn to let go just a little bit because you're stifling the creativity kind of thing. And that's an extreme kind of thing, right? But when I was talking about like how evolving of the music, if you stay keep playing the same thing over and over again, unless you're AC/DC and you enjoy that, you might make yourself a little crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I was asking the question. Like, hey, you know, like evolving.
It has evolved.
Yeah.
Big time, yeah. And like with the new members every 6 to 12 months in prior conviction.
Oh, my God.
Fresh blood all the time. That's amazing.
That's a podcast.
And then there's me and Dan. We're the youngest guys in the band, so we're like the whippersnappers.
I think I found a new music podcast out of Hamilton. Your band.
Yeah.
The last. Why is this happening? Why is so many changes? And how does? And is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Yeah, it's like a high turnaround in the band. And honestly, Dwayne and John are like awesome guys to be in a band with.
Yeah.
Really easygoing. So, you know, never really, there's no stifling of creativity. All they want is for you to, you know, be creative. Yeah, these are our songs, but they're going to be our songs, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so, like, have fun with them. Try something else, you know. And so that's what I do.
I think that's a great positive attitude to have towards all of it.
You want to inspire your bandmates instead of talking shit to them.
You don't want to talk down.
I think that gets further. Yeah, because you're not like, I'm not like talking down about your level of playing. In fact, I just want you to
enjoy yourself,
and get it out of you. You know?
Well, that was always the punk thing from what I understood as a kid was that you didn't have to be the most technically great player. The fact that all it was like get up, participate, enjoy, express yourself, and it was never. I never perceived it as anything but. And not all about a certain style of music. It could be anything. That punk attitude was try something, be something, and
do it yourself. Yeah. Get out and do it. You don't have to be a prog rock band. You didn't have to be Boston or Styx or something.
Play like
that.
That's right. Yeah.
Having said that, there is some pretty insane musicians when you look at the people that are on this.
Let's roll that mic into your face there.
That's true. Too. Like having said that doesn't mean you can't.
And I think that's kind of a misconception sometimes too. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, I'm not speaking for myself by any means, but a lot of people think that, you don't have to be a superstar to be in a punk band. That is 100% fact. But there are some superstars in punk bands.
Yeah.
Like I said, not speaking for myself, maybe speaking for Matt a little bit. I hear a lot of the things about him.
Well, I look at my band. I started off, my drummer and my bass player have been playing 6 months. They were 13 and 17. Yeah. Now, they're really good. They've been playing for 4 years and doing a whole bunch of shows. Yeah. Did they develop? Yeah. Did they bring what they developed to it? Yeah. Yeah. You know, great. I'm glad you discovered Led
Zeppelin. I'm glad that you brought that up because to me, it's all about inspiring the next generation to do something, right? Mm-hmm. And to get into music, that sort of thing. So any bands that you guys have seen recently that are younger that you're like going, hey, a tip of the cap to them that you can think offhand? And any of them on these bills?
Oh, I know we already mentioned it, but Danger Death Ray is a big one for me. I know we just mentioned it, but like they, to me, like D-Files and Danger Death Ray have some pretty similar influences going back to JFA and the Southern California punk and stuff like that. So that's awesome to see. When they opened for us a few months ago and we're like, holy crap, we feel like old crap now. We see these guys play, right? So I think we had a really young band open for Gag Order on the weekend called out of Toronto called The Slime. I believe they're on this.
They're on it,
They
are.
Yeah. And they blew my mind. These guys are young, and it was like watching, you know, somebody repeatedly punch you in the face for a half an hour.
In a good way.
Yeah. Right? Like, there's definitely, like, there is some, like we talked about, there's some bands that have been around for a long time, but there's a lot of good young bands coming up right now.
I bet you it's close to 50-50 on this comp with old versus, you know, young. Like, huge.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young kids on these bands that are playing that are the new generation.
This is something that it's something I used to do, and I always like seeing other people do it. When you release these comp albums, and you're going to do this on March 20th, it's an album release party at the Casbah. Once this one's done, and then you release the second, the other two comps that are coming out, and wherever you're going to put that, at what point is there any idea of you going, okay, let's take this on the road? Like, you guys are on the comp, and you're in this market. Can we bring a couple bands and do a lockdown presentation there? Like, that thought of, like, let's do this
absolutely
for 6 months.
So there's Mark Davidson, which is Stand Against Fear. He's been in, you know, various bands. I don't even know them all. Hockey Teeth back in the day. He actually approached me recently and said, let's get 4 to 5 bands and do a bit of a Southern Ontario, East Coast, West Coast kind of tour.
That, and having said that, with those bands that are in each of those areas, they'll know the best room for you guys to be in for the bang for your buck, right?
Well, absolutely.
A bit of the irony is a lot of the – anytime you go across Southern Ontario, you're playing with the bands that are on here. Those bills are already existing. So it's kind of funny when you say that, like, oh, yeah, there's the guy from my Guelph bill. But, yeah, it would be kind of cool to go, here's four of them, and just go on an actual tour together.
But earlier when we were talking, but I was asking, okay, so it's a Southern Ontario kind of bass bands, but then, you know, is anyone else coming in? Dwayne said, yeah, there's some Northern Ontario kind of thing bands that jumped in on this one.
Yeah.
That's a great – see, now I'm thinking this is great. You do this for 6 months. The second one comes out. It's going on. And then the idea is you bring out the next one. Do we go out west or do we go right to the Rock? Or go to St. John's?
Maybe so. It's got a good scene out there.
Yeah.
Shane, our bass player, he's from the East Coast also, Shane Anderson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he knows a ton of people, a ton of bands out there.
That's a whole other podcast together. The amount of East Coasters playing punk in Ontario is wild.
And Gag Order just toured there.
Yeah.
That's right. We went last May, so if you want any connections.
Well, it's also, and you're not resistant to working with other local punk promoters that do similar stuff like this too to help get the name out of the compilation.
No, not at all. Yeah. Hamilton scene itself, promoters, people, you know, all the club owners, Jamie Problem, you know, he does this.
Jamie's been doing this for years. But I'm just saying, as far as like collaboration of like you're taking what he said earlier, that the Hamilton sound and bringing it to Newfoundland or bringing it to Winnipeg, that sort of thing, like a showcase style.
Yeah.
You know, maybe tying in some more of the campus radio, getting some presents out of them on these shows, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I say this as
interesting.
I say this as I'm sitting on air at a campus radio station as my station manager walks by.
Yeah.
And he walked by again. And I think he's hiding from me. But that's cool, Brian. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Hey, it's 12:45 and change right now. It's Steel City Music. You're listening to The Hawk. We were talking about the punk rock compilation showcase that's happening on Friday, March 20th. On this bill will be the Letdowns, which are the Wet Spots, which caused me great anxiety over my childhood booking the Corktown at the age of 19. Pat Havoc destroyed all the ceiling tiles, but the bar sales were close to $4,000.
Wow.
And the ceiling tile was only $20. And as I said to the bar owner, I think we can pay for the ceiling tiles.
We're good.
We're okay. Yeah. Am I saying this right? Gat Gas?
That's right.
Yeah. Four hate.
U8.
The Defiles, of course, Well and Wasted, Stand Against Fear, The Dominion, Wiggler, The Discarded, Doug Hell, Dirty Bird, Nancy Vicious, and the Nasty Bitches. I was going to say...
They're great.
Nancy Vicious and the Nasty Knishes. Because that stupid Muppet show where the Muppets came out, and now Sid Vicious and the Nasty Knishes. This is another old punk reference joke. Yeah, Wayne Cruz right now is dying laughing. I can't believe he said that. Backbreaker, Trauma Lanes, Danger Death Ray, as we can all agree at the table, one of our new favorite bands, and the Essential Letdowns. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Conflict.
Yes, I know.
Dwayne, please explain this, sir.
Can't say no.
Can't say no.
Can't say no.
Well, what the hell? What's the difference? What's going on with these two bands? Like, what's the deal? What's going on here? What's this?
I want to see them fight.
Really?
Yeah, I want to see them argue and fight. We have the rights. No, we have the rights, right? So we'll see what happens.
They ain't going to fight.
No.
I can't see it. But really? You're a smart guy. I like that.
Yeah.
A little bit of controversy
in
this show. Okay. One more time. The physical copies are going to be at the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we wanted to find out this lineup and more things and how to jump on ordering stuff, like, where do we go to?
Facebook.
Facebook right now?
Yep. On Lockdown Records.
Okay.
Do a search.
Yep.
Everything's there. Every day we highlight a band every day on our site. You know, give various social media sites they can check out, whatever. But yeah,
sure.
Sort of strongly urge get down there and check them out. And okay.
Awesome, man. And also to you guys, please tag my stuff and everything you're sending out on Twitter, Gunner101, Steel City Music Twitter, Instagram, SCMGram, and I'll retweet it and repost it and talk about it and all those other fun things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it on the website, our website and everything. And you're always welcome to come back up here. When you're sending your music, his name is Brian Webb. He's the station manager here. It's brian.webb@mohawkcollege.ca. Dylan Moore is our music director. You can send your music that way, and then they can listen to it. And the giant screen over there, and these screens you see here, they put your music in, and it gets played.
Fantastic.
It better work that way. Okay. Guys, we're going to go out on a tune. What are we going to do here? We played a bit too heavy. What else did you send me there, sir? Do you remember offhand?
We got a gag order tune there.
A gag? No use. That's the nice one that I'm looking for. No use. Okay, I'm just load
it's
that up.
It's my lucky day.
Look at you, eh? Look at all the royalties you're going to be making. Making more off of us than Spotify, guy. I'll tell you that right now. Gentlemen, thank you for your time once again at the Casbah, March 20th. Go check it out. Doors are 8 o'clock. It's a 19-plus show. Go buy some merch, and you know, you'll have a lot of fun.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
sky's the limit, and it's all to jump on. Don't stop and stay. Out there in the desert, I see trees all everywhere. Nothing's ever solved. He said the sky's the limit, and it's all to jump on. And it's all to stay.
Five.